never rests.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Toms, and we are from Dogs HQ. This is the Georgia Show, the final one before Georgia takes on Tennessee on Saturday. Dogs 10.5-point favorites. In the minds of Georgia fans, though, in a sizable amount of Georgia fans, they should be 3-touchdown underdogs at home. There aren't very many Georgia fans giving this team a chance, and what they showed last week against Ole Miss, I can't really blame them for having some doubts about this team. I will say that's the only time I've seen Georgia do that in 4 years, the past 4 years. So just not have a response. But we're going to get to all of that. We're going to talk about the final thoughts going into the Tennessee games. We got prize picks. We got NFHS. We've got college football playoff rankings reaction slash I'm going to yawn, I think, a little bit just because – I feel like these are more theatrical than the AP or coaches poll ever thought about being, or BCS rankings, and also let's just kind of get going on the week. You know, like there's a lot to talk about here, Palmer, and obviously there's the Georgia Tennessee game, and you're a Tennessee native. You know, I know that your heart is in Knoxville at all times. You're basically
far from it.
Yeah, you basically bleed creamsicle orange. Palmer's a North Carolina
pumpkin orange.
Palmer's a North Carolina legacy Georgia grad. So, what are your thoughts, kind of, on not just this game and this matchup, Palmer, but like how Georgia fans are reacting to it? The kind of like it's what we saw pre-Texas, but worse.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying there, because and I think that second loss does that for you. Georgia fans are not accustomed to this feeling. You know, just the third time under Kirby Smart that Georgia's suffered a second regular season loss. You know, the first time that it's happened, you know, or excuse me, just the second time that it's happened since that first season. You know, and so I think that it's an uncomfortable feeling, but I think it all goes back to what Kirby Smart said after the game on Saturday, is we're living in a different world. The new look SEC, the new look college football playoff, you know, you can lose two games and you're everything everything that you used to say with one loss of, hey, everything that we set out to do ahead of the season, it's still out there for us. All of our goals are still ahead of us. You can say that now with two losses, especially when you play the schedule that Georgia plays and you've got as many opportunities as Georgia has. You know, but I think that there is understandable frustration among the Georgia fan base with the way that this team has looked. You know, and I think that, you know, as somebody that's been around the team, you know, as much as we have, I think we feel something is maybe a little bit off with this team. They're just not what they've been. And you know, there's lots of reasons why you could point to this player, that player, this player being here, that player being gone, yada yada yada, but there's just no denying that this Georgia team has a different feel to it, and it is a different world that we are living in, both from a Georgia perspective of the Bulldogs having two losses and from a, you know, 10,000 foot view of Georgia is still alive with two losses.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been right. And I think that starting slow is not atypical for this program. Even when they start fast, they kind of start slow. Look at 2022. They started really fast against Oregon, right? And they kind of looked like, meh, against Samford. And then they looked great against South Carolina. And then they took two weeks off, essentially. I mean, they looked terrible against Kent State. They looked terrible against Missouri. Looked terrible for the first quarter and a half against Auburn. And finally pulled away late in that game and got it going. Slow starts don't surprise me. It's when they don't get better. And listen, I don't have any problem with Mike Bobo at all. I think he is a good offensive coordinator. It's not working out this season, 100%. I thought it worked out pretty well last season. And I think most of his seasons at Georgia have been pretty good, have been good seasons. But most of them have been good seasons, not great or elite seasons, because it took a while for the offense to get going. but it almost always got going. Even 2010 with a true freshman or the redshirt freshman quarterback, Aaron Murray, they got better. Got better in 11. They got better in 12. They didn't get better in 13 because that's because the entire thing got wiped out. Well, Todd Gurley got hurt. Keith Marshall got hurt. Justin Scott Wesley, Michael Bennett got hurt. Finally spent some time on the shelf. They had Brendan Douglas and J.J. Green at running back. They got better as the year went along in 14 despite losing Todd Gurley. So what I'm saying here is there's a common thread between 13 and 24, and that is the fact that Georgia's decimated. They've got four running backs on the injury report right now. Now, I will say that I don't think they're going to be missing all four of those guys when they play against Tennessee. Trevor Etienne, Cash Jones, both questionable right now. But injuries on the offensive line, injuries at running back. I mean, if Georgia put out a report yesterday like the NFL does, like who practiced and who didn't, that list is much longer. That list is a lot. And, you know, I know people are going to point out, well, Georgia, maybe you need to dial it back in practice. Most of these injuries are happening in games. Branson Robinson, Tate Ratledge, Micah Morris, Trevor Etienne, all of those in-game injuries. I'm pretty sure Cash Jones was too. I'm pretty sure he's been banged up all week. So it's tough to figure out kind of what's wrong with this team because there are so many things wrong with this team. And those things are kind of – even the things that are out of Georgia's control, which you've got to try to find a way to work around, those issues keep growing too. And that's the tough part. That makes it hard to get this thing back on the rails.
Well, and going back to what you said there about, you know, people being like, hey, Georgia's got to dial it back in practice. They have. You know, Kirby told us this week that, you know, that they're basically throwing together an offensive line out there every week and trying to make sure, you know, hey, Monday's not as physical as we normally do because they can't. You know, they can't do it. You know, they can't afford to do it in terms of they can't afford to have more injuries, but they also can't do it because they don't have the guys to do it right now. And I think you could, you know, that could point to some bigger concerns of where's the depth. That's something Kirby has been harping on since day one of this season, as I well know, you know, that they were trying to develop that depth. And you know, they said in the preseason, hey, we're trying to develop depth, and you know, maybe we're not as concerned about chemistry, and you know, it's a decision that is paying off right now, because if you weren't trying to develop that depth, who knows where they would be right now in terms of all the guys that are having to play some sort of role. You know, I think you see it at running back. I think you see it at receiver. It's very evident on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, you know, they haven't been hit as hard with the injuries. You know, up front on the defensive line, I think.
Hey, I'll give them credit, and this is where you start to criticize the offensive staff, right? They had two healthy interior defensive linemen early in the season. They made it work.
Yeah.
They figured it out. Now, did they get a little bit of a break there? I mean, Kentucky wasn't very good on offense, and you know, Clemson kind of getting them out of the gate, but great job in week one, a phenomenal job. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but they worked around it successfully. Probably with a little bit, probably with, you know, a little bit more of an advantage. I would say there, just in terms of
talent advantage. You're saying,
yeah, talent advantage and depth advantage, and also in some ways, I feel like a schedule advantage because let's look at it this way: Ole Miss and Texas, great offenses, you know, for sure, but you know, elite defenses at home, you know, that puts a lot of strain on the opposing offense. I think it's easier to play, a little bit easier to play defense on the road than it is offense on the road. But ultimately, the defense has done a phenomenal job, I feel like, of working around its injuries. I thought Georgia was in so much trouble when they were down to two healthy interior defensive linemen for the first three games of the season. Warren Brinson didn't come back until Alabama, and that gave Georgia a grand total of three defensive tackles. They weathered the storm. Now, they weren't dealing with defensive tackle, linebacker, and secondary like Georgia's dealing with at wide receiver, running back, and O-line. You know, I got Austin Italia's thing right here. I agree with him to an extent. I mean, it doesn't help when you are down to the bare bones at running back. You don't want to pound the football. You don't want to be stubborn with the run. You don't want to commit to the run. But at the same time, Georgia's on its third, fourth, fifth options at right guard. They've played without Jared Wilson for 2.5 games this year, 2.25 games this year, whatever, 2+. They Ernest Green, DNP, several times over the past few weeks. He's hurting more, and it's more than. And I'm told it's more than just the burners, the stuff, the shoulder stuff. It's I've been told all season long since I think right around the Kentucky or Alabama game that he's dealing with a groin injury or some or a leg injury of some sort. So, listen, I know it sounds like you're making excuses, but I just don't think it's fair to talk about this team and talk. If you want to talk about it like it's a failure, that's fine. I hope you don't get personal with players and all that stuff. I mean, I know they make NIL and everything like that. I just don't think that's kosher, in my opinion. But I do think if we're going to talk about it, and I'll be the first one to say, I think there have been some coaching failures. I think Carson Beck's done a really poor job of handling the pressure and handling the weight of the way this offense has come upon him. I wouldn't expect him to just pass with flying colors every week with no run game and a struggling offensive line, but I would expect him to take better care of the football and kind of elevate some guys around him. So I'm not letting Bobo or Carson Beck off the hook, but I do think that when you're trying to fix things, when you're trying to shore up some areas and it just keeps getting worse in ways that's out of your control, it just makes it really difficult. And thus far, it's been a failure to get it corrected.
Spot on. Spot on. Preach.
Let's get some you want to get some spot ons over here with these prize picks. I made a pick, Palmer. I told you this earlier with our friends over at Prize Picks. I made a 4-leg pick last week. I made a card, and I don't even want to say what's on the card. I can't even remember what's on the card. I don't even want to look at it. And I put some cash on it. You know, I put some good money on it, and I was going to make some good money. I sent you what I was putting on it, what I was going to make on it. I went 0-for-4. I missed on all 4 of those.
Yeah.
I had 2 in the Georgia.
We've been cold.
Yeah, I missed on Arian Smith. He didn't have, what was it, 51.5 receiving yards. I had Jackson Dart going over the pass number. He went under. They would have went under with the 2 quarterbacks combined. And that's another thing about Georgia's defense. I know they gave up 28 points last week. They gave up less than 400 total yards.
5 field goals.
Five field goals. And 2 of those were kind of like turnovers by the offense deep in territory, hold them to field goals, 6 points right there. I thought the defense gave up some plays against Ole Miss, but I want Georgia's number 2 in the SEC. Now, with that schedule, number 2 in the SEC now on third downs. They've climbed after being in a hole earlier this year. And one of the best defenses in the SEC at preventing touchdown percentage in the red zone, too. That was a weakness last year. Let's get these these prize picks. Promo code DOGS. And you get what, $50 with your first bet of 5?
$50 with your first play of 5, win or lose. First
play of 5.
And, you know, Jake, we could use that right now. We've been losing a lot, but
we use $5.
We could use.
We're terrible. 5.
Absolutely.
I was looking back at our record from last year. We hit on our first 3.
We had some fun with it last year. And we're having fun with it this year.
Oh, yeah. Just it's not awesome.
The same success. But hey, if this one hits, I think Georgia fans are going to have a lot more fun here. Some low numbers for Georgia receivers this week. 37.5 for Arian Smith. 40.5 for Dylan Bell. 48.5 for Dominic Lovett. I'm going more on all 3 of those.
Oh, what?
89.5 rushing yards for Dylan Sampson. I know Kirby thinks he's the best thing since Herschel Walker suited up, compared him to Alvin Kamara. I'm going less on that. If this one hits, we're doing a flex play here, so we only need to hit 3 out of the 4. But if this one hits, it's 100 to win 500. And Jake, we're going to be feeling a lot better about ourselves. And I think this Georgia fan base will be feeling a lot better about it.
All right, the flex play makes it make sense because you're wanting to hit 2 out of 3 of those Georgia receivers,
exactly.
And then Georgia can keep Dylan Sampson around 80 yards rushing. Yeah, I see what you're going after there. But my God,
those are just some low numbers for those receivers. And
I'm not even trying to beat up on Georgia's offense or pile on, and I don't know if but those are low numbers.
Those are low numbers, and it just caught my eye. And look, we know what this Georgia offense.
They've set a pretty high number for Carson Beck in the pass game too. They've it is. 256, 260 something.
It was like 260, 270 something. Yeah, I found that very interesting that it was that high, but then this low with these receivers. You know, like you said, we're trying to hit 2 out of 3 of these receivers here. So, Prize Picks.
Like, I like it.
It's an adventure every week. It's an adventure every week, and we're in for one this week. Georgia-Tennessee plays.
It's a lot of fun. It's so much fun watching those games and, you know, waiting to see if that pick hits or not. That's a lot of fun. And listen, it's up to you. Bet 5, bet 20, bet 50. Do whatever you want to do. Have some fun with it. Give it a try. Prize Picks, they're awesome, man. It's a lot of fun. A great way to watch college football on Saturday. All right, college football playoff rankings, Palmer. I want to encourage everybody to watch them and to enjoy them and to soak up college football season and all of the highlights and discussion and everything you get, because you're going to be missing it here in about 2 or 3 months. But the college football playoff rankings are a made for TV deal. And I don't think I'm not trying to accuse anybody of lack of integrity unless they want to sit here and argue with me that they're not considering the coming week's matchups and what's down the road and all that stuff when they make these rankings, because they absolutely are. And, you know, Georgia being 12 is not a big deal. You beat a top 10 team this week, you're going to vault up the rankings, and they're not just going to jump over Tennessee. They're going to jump over probably 2 or 3 schools in total, maybe 2 or 3 in addition to Tennessee. So, I mean, Georgia has no issues. Nobody else in the country, Palmer, to my knowledge, has 3 top 20 wins, and that's what Georgia would have at that point. I don't know how many teams have 2.
Top 20, yeah. Alabama's close, but Alabama would probably have 2 after this week, because Missouri and South Carolina play each other, and they're both just outside that top 20. So you got to think if one wins, one's going to bump in, and then obviously they would have the win over Georgia. So right now they've got 3 top 25 wins.
And the head-to-head's probably going to play there. Like, it's probably going to be nice, but, you know, Georgia's losses at that point, better. Georgia's best
Alabama win. Has more top 25 wins.
Yeah, they've got the 3.
4, because you got LSU as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right, LSU. And where did LSU fall to?
They were 1 spot behind South Carolina. So, okay. 22 maybe.
Gotcha. 23. Yeah, so, but at that point, you know, that that's awesome. I mean, Alabama would have more top 25 wins. Georgia would have more top 20 wins. Alabama would have the worst loss. Georgia would have the best win. Alabama would have the head-to-head. That's really just a really interesting comparison.
And here's the thing. I don't think Georgia fans are upset with Georgia being behind Alabama.
No, not at all. Or Ole Miss.
With Georgia being behind Ole Miss. It's the Notre Dame, Penn State. And you look at this. This is how it would be right now. Miami is 9th ranked. BYU is 6th ranked. You know, the top 5 is what? Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana. So 4 out of the top 5 are Big Ten teams. I think it'll work itself out. Ohio State and Indiana play. I think if my gut says that Ohio State's going to probably put a beat down on Indiana. And if that happens, I think we could see them fall out. Now, if Indiana somehow pulls off that win over Ohio State, Indiana's going to be in this thing till the end. And I think Ohio State probably would be with 2 losses as well.
It is.
That'll play itself out. BYU, Miami, those 2 teams are probably in 1-bid conferences. So if Miami, you know, wins out and wins the ACC, it doesn't matter where they're ranked. They're going to be in one of those top 4 seeds. It BYU, same situation. And if BYU loses to, let's say, Colorado in the Big 12 championship game, then Colorado's in and BYU's probably out. So, you know, to me, I don't think Georgia fans are as upset about, you know, the Bulldogs being behind BYU and Miami and Indiana, because I think those will work itself out. Again, I think it's the Notre Dame and Penn State, 2 teams that have 1 loss. And you could probably put Texas in there as well. You know, another team that has 1 loss, but none of those 3 teams have all that impressive of a win. Notre Dame has
an absolutely ugly loss. And
incredibly ugly loss. They have a 10-10 win. And that's impressive, but nothing is impressive as going on the road to beat Texas, and not nearly as impressive of a second win as a 31-point win over Clemson. I mean, I think it's the Notre Dame and then Penn State. You've
I will say this, Palmer. I do think
Penn State have. What does Penn State have?
Yeah, Penn State's got nothing. They've got a good loss.
Fourth ranked team.
They've got a good loss.
And Georgia has two. Yet some would be on the outside looking in. I'm kind of buying into your theory of this is done for discussion and TV ratings. And look, you know, I'm not putting out there a conspiracy theory of, look, ESPN is in on this. They know that if they, you know, put this ranking out on a Tuesday that does not matter, that they can then talk about it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and on down the line of, whoa, well, look, Georgia's on the outside looking in, knowing very well that this will work itself out with Georgia playing Tennessee this weekend. Either the Bulldogs win and they're right back in, and deservedly so, may probably, you know, being in where they deserve to be in this week, or they lose and they're out, and the playoff committee is you know, looking at it and they say, hey, we told you so.
Yeah.
So it'll work itself out. But I think, it just sets up a dangerous precedent. Are you going to continue to do this, or are you just doing this for fun on the second week of this ranking and you're going to mix it up every week? Because
the out that they have is the fact that the dust hasn't settled yet. So right. You don't really know how impressive wins are. Like if Texas beats Texas A&M, well, Notre Dame's best win goes down. Georgia's best win goes up.
Yes.
So that you've got those kind of things going on. Penn State really isn't affected by anything, and it's, you know, a close loss to Ohio State at home in Happy Valley.
I
mean,
I guess Indiana beating Ohio State and giving Ohio State a second loss would make Penn State's one loss look a little worse.
I guess. Yeah. But, I mean, that would ultimately. I don't know what the committee can do with Ohio Penn State.
Left with two.
Yeah. I don't know what the committee can do with Penn State. Like, I don't get it. Notre Dame having that awful of a loss and only one win over a top 20 team, I just don't really. It's Notre Dame, but here's some thoughts on this that I wrote down. Tennessee's in trouble if it loses to Georgia. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's in a lot of trouble because Tennessee doesn't have, all it has is the Alabama win right now, and that's basically it. Like it didn't have a win over Missouri. It doesn't have a win over A&M. It doesn't have a win over South Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it LSU. I think Tennessee.
Who does Tennessee play after Georgia?
I think Tennessee needs to be a one-loss team, and
they play UTEP in Vanderbilt after Georgia.
Yeah,
Tennessee needs to be a one-loss team.
Yeah, Tennessee needs to be at one loss and making the SEC championship game, and then it's in. If Tennessee gets through Georgia, they're in the playoff 100%. If they don't get through Georgia, they might be in some trouble. The same thing is true for Texas and Texas A&M. I think Texas is in trouble if they don't beat Texas A&M because the alarms are going to go off and they are going to plummet without any good wins.
Yeah.
Does Texas have a ranked win?
I don't think so. No.
Let me ask you this. Texas loses
Oklahoma's outside.
Let me ask you this. Texas loses to Arkansas this week, but they beat Texas A&M. Can they get in?
No.
That's
if they're in that situation, then, you know, based on the precedent that this committee has set right here, where they say, hey, Georgia, you have two losses, two really good losses, two playoff caliber team losses, and two good wins, you know, two top 20 wins. How could you, but yet you're on the outside looking in, how could you take a team like Texas that would have two losses, one of those being to a Arkansas team that, yeah, they would be bowl bound with another win, and hats off to Sam Pittman, but, you know, a not so great loss to Arkansas yet and have no wins. And how would you put them in?
You'd have the Texas A&M win with that. You would essentially make
you would have
as soon as you want it.
Top 25 win.
Yeah.
But I just think it is, I don't know. I think the precedent, and again, like you said, the dust hasn't settled here. It does not matter what the rankings are on November 14th or, you know, the 12th when they put it out or whatever. It creates a good talking point. College football playoff, SEO, skyrocketing right now because we're talking about it. But I think, and Kirby talked about this on the teleconference yesterday. I think that the precedent that is being set in terms of just counting the losses and ranking teams, you know, saying, hey, here's our one loss and our no loss and one loss teams, and we're going to rank those. And then we're going to move to our two loss teams and we're going to rank those. It's just a very dangerous precedent that they are setting. And it's going to incentivize these teams and these conferences to say, why would we make tough schedules? Teams aren't going to go out and play an opener against Clemson because we're going right back to, you know, hey,
we're going to standings instead of rankings.
That's a really good way of putting it, Jake. Yes. And so that's what we're looking at here is, you know, are we just doing standings or are we doing rankings? Is there more to it than just your win-loss record? Is it your strength of schedule? Is it your strength of record? Is it what quality wins do you have? What quality losses do you have? You know, who did you lose to? Who have they gone out and beaten? That should matter. But, you know, if the committee is going to do it this way, then what incentive does the SEC outside of money have to go play 9 games? Because they're just going to hurt themselves in the end and make less money when, you know, no less teams are making the college football playoff. Also very interested to see what happens with the SEC championship game, because I think, you know, let's say Texas does get there and they play Alabama and they win. Is Alabama going to be out with 3 losses because it's just standings?
It shouldn't be.
But that's the precedent that's been set right now, is that we're just looking at this as standings instead of rankings.
Yeah, 100%. And I was going to mention that about the SEC championship game. I don't think it's going to happen, but my eyes are fixed on how these second-tier SEC teams, all these two-loss SEC teams are just grouped right back there at the very back of that bracket. It almost makes me feel like – it makes me skeptical of whether or not they are going to – they're doing that to create an opening for them to drop the 3-loss SEC champ out of this. And somebody on our board had a really good point.
Well, it wouldn't be a 3-loss SEC champ. It would be
– 3-loss SEC runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, runner-up. Somebody had a good point on our board, and they're like, hey, man, you know, you want to give Greg Sankey all the ammo he really needs to just say, to hell with this, we're going to go do our own thing with somebody else. Do that. But then again, I mean, it turns the SEC championship game, if you really think about it. If the SEC championship game is no longer an elimination game, it kind of just turns it into a, hey, who gets to get a trophy exhibition? Mm-hmm. Because the game doesn't matter. It only matters if a team goes in with 3 losses and it's trying to play its way in.
Yeah, but yes, you get, ultimately the reward outside of that trophy and you know a plaque that you get to put up on your wall or whatever is that bye. That's the reward of it. But yeah. I think if we're talking about it, and again, dust has yet to settle, and there will be, you know, there's a lot of football left to be played, and you know we're still couple weeks away from Selection Sunday, but if we're talking on Selection Sunday about a 3-loss SEC team, a 10-3 SEC team that gets knocked out because they lose in the SEC championship game, what incentive is there for the SEC to play a championship game? Because you're just hurting yourself. And Greg Sankey can be all for it, but I think the athletic directors would be all against it because, you know, especially those that are actually playing for it, because you go play for it and you lose and you're done because you were the second best team in the regular season.
If I know this,
there's going to be 3 other SEC teams that make the play. It's just not how it should work.
Yeah. If I know this league, like I think I do, they're going to need to get slapped over the hand a few times with this before they make a change, before they really start to get into uproar about it. It took a few years whenever the oversigning and all that stuff. It's just, the SEC is the best conference in America. There's no doubt in my mind. It's not always the best run conference in America, but most of the time it is. But the wheels turn kind of slow sometimes. Yeah. They do turn kind of slow. Or they don't
That's enough yelling about the college football playoffs in November.
Yeah, we probably got a little bit long on that. one thing you can't get too long on is an FHS. And Palmer, 14 of 16, Peach State commits.
Not just Peach State. all across the country. Georgia has 16 commits that will be playing football this weekend. 14 of them will be on NFHS. Right here, one of them, Santa Margarita, out of California. You can watch Georgia defensive lineman.
J.J. Hain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go. Hey, listen, NFHS is the most extensive prep network in America. You can see Georgia commits. You can see Georgia targets. You can go in there. It's easy to look up. Palmer's showing you right now. You can look up by state. You can look up by sport. If you want to watch basketball, baseball, you know, they have girls flag football on there. You got a niece or a nephew or a grandkid that's playing somewhere in another state or 3 or 4 hours away, there's a good chance their game is on NFHS. And it's a wonderful network of high school sports, of high school athletics, getting these kids, whether they're recruits or not, exposure and a chance to get recognized for the stuff that they do on the field. Those guys work hard. High school athletics bring a ton of energy. The playoffs are upon us. We got Coffey versus Jackson County right here in Hutchinson, Georgia, this weekend, right down the road from my house. Coffey County is going to take on Jackson County this week, or not Coffey County, Coffey High School. It is in Coffey County, but they get on you for calling it Coffey County High School. It is Coffey High. But listen, NFHS is awesome. You can use the promo code GODOGS25 to get 25% off your first for your first month. Go check it out. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. And support this website too, because this is, to me, very important for high school athletics and to grow athletics at the high school level and to keep getting kids participating. Is, listen, knowing that you can put yourself out there on broadcast and cut up your clips and things like that, it's so fun. And I've watched so much NFHS this year. Palmer, let's get to the final thoughts and predictions for Georgia-Tennessee. I'm going to give my final thought here, and that's, it's good to be home. It's good to be back home for us. Especially for you who traveled to Alabama and Kentucky earlier in the year when I did not, but 3 out of 4 weeks, 2 out of those 4 weeks on a plane, 1 of those 4 weeks, you know, 14 hours on the road on the weekend. I can't imagine the amount of rest, recovery, prep time that Georgia has lost to and from airport, in the air, logistics, all that stuff. I mean, it's been tough. These Georgia hasn't been playing the night games too.
The night games make it even tougher because the team's getting back late on Sunday.
Yeah, and you're not out there. You're not out there slap fighting. I mean, you're playing some really good football teams. And again, it just goes to part of the body of work, not letting anybody off the hook. But Georgia, the competition level has been down at home comparatively. They haven't played a winning football team at home yet this season. But they have been noticeably more, I would say noticeably more composed. They've started better in home games. They've done a better job of kind of making adjustments and all of those things. And I just think being at home is a big deal for Georgia right now at this point in the season. You'll talk about all those games Georgia played on the offensive line with a disadvantage at the snap. Because of the crowd noise, that's tough. And I think Georgia has some of those things on its side here against Tennessee. I don't know what Nico's status will be, and I don't think it's a big impact on the game one way or the other personally. I think Gaston Moore is not the talent that he is, but I think he can definitely operate that offense. And Nico was kind of more of a game manager for Dylan Sampson in that run game anyway. He was the shot taker whenever teams overplayed the run, and that's kind of how that offense was working, and it was working okay. But I like this matchup for Georgia at home. Tennessee's going to have to like kind of come alive and play a great road game that we haven't really seen them play, at least in a big game under Josh Heupel. And if I'm Georgia, Palmer, this brings me to kind of my biggest point here. If I'm Georgia and Nico plays, I'm coming after him. And I say that, I hope, I pray. And I'll pray on the air if I need to. I hope the kid doesn't get further hurt. He's apparently dealing with a concussion. So I definitely, I'm not saying you bring the house at him to try and hurt him. Like, I hope his head stays very healthy and everything is fine. But you bring the house at him for the same reason that when you buzz the tower as a pitcher, throw a ball up and in, ball gets away from you and knocks a guy down, you come back with a front door breaking ball. You throw a breaking ball right at him and try to spook him into taking it. And that's kind of what Georgia, I feel like, needs to do to Nico if he plays in this game. Come after him relentlessly. and see how like missing some practice time and dealing with, you know, kind of an injury, something that was probably, you know, kind of stirring for him. See how he's going to react to that coming off of that injury, and see what he's got there, and see if that's somewhere where you can kind of pull a thread.
Did you just steal my notes? Because that's what I was going to go for as well. Is you've got to bring pressure. This game is won in the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Defensively, I think that the way this Tennessee offense is run, they spread you out. Your defensive backs are playing on islands. The best way to help out a group that has not been the best this season, get pressure on the quarterback. And we've seen that work for Georgia this season against Texas. We've seen it work for Georgia in the past against Tennessee. Look back at that 2022 game and the way that they were able to get pressure on Hendon Hooker there. They've got to get pressure on Tennessee here. Also important that they stop the run, because that is the bread and butter of this Tennessee offense. The wide receivers, the passing game, the splits, it all gets the you know, glory. But Dylan Sampson is a stud, and if this offense can run, they can move the ball. They can do some things. Offensively for Georgia, it's this very similar. To me, it's looking at the offensive line. Can they run the ball, especially being banged up at both offensive line and running back? Because if you can't run the ball, then you're put in bad situations where the defense knows you're passing it. Defense knows they can come, you know, pin their ears back and come after the quarterback. And you're dealing with a group that has not, you know, that is just coming off of a game where they did not protect the quarterback well. Gave up 5 sacks against Ole Miss. James Pierce is a really good player. He's not the only one in that defensive front that's really good for Tennessee. You've got to be able to establish the run game and protect your quarterback, because if you can't, if the offensive line does not play better, they will not win this game. And I think that it comes down to that line of scrimmage battle on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, you're talking about playing two of the best teams and the two of the better teams in the SEC just in terms of generating tackles for a loss. I think Texas is number 2. Tennessee's number 3. Ole Miss is number 1. Here's the thing, though. Ole Miss has 30 more tackles for a loss than Tennessee does. It's played one more game, but it's got 30 more. It's got double the number of sacks. I'm not saying that to say Georgia's going to beat them. I was blown away to see that Ole Miss has like 46 sacks. Tennessee has 22. Georgia has 21. Ole Miss has just been outrageous this year, just in terms of, you know, creating havoc plays. And listen, they did it against Georgia. They really cleaned up against some other teams, 16, 17 tackles for a loss in a couple of those games to really run it up. I don't think, you know, James Pierce is awesome. And I think probably if you want to talk about the number one guy over that Georgia's played this year, I think he's probably the number one most talented pass rusher.
They've Princeton's had right there.
Who's that?
Princeton.
Yeah, he's probably right there too. I think Pierce is probably
James more Pierce talented. Has more name value to it.
Yeah, but I will say that Georgia's had some success against him, and Xavier Truss blocked him well last year, and Marius Mims did a good job against him, and Darnus Green did a good job against him. This was in Knoxville. Now he's a great player. He's not quite as productive as he was last year. Palmer, my thought is if we're going to do transitive property, which I'm not a huge fan of, but let's look at it because it's back-to-back games. Ole Miss did what it did to Georgia on the road. I think Ole Miss is a notch, maybe two, better than Tennessee on the overall defensive front just in terms of creating havoc plays and pressure. Is Tennessee going to be anywhere near as that effective at home on the road against Georgia in Athens as Ole Miss was at its place? And I have a hard time thinking it will. I haven't really seen a team – you know, it's been a while since I've seen a team kind of get after Georgia at home. So I like the home matchup getting to my prediction here. I like the home matchup. I think this is a sucker bet all day long. I think Vegas is trying its best to get you to put money on Tennessee. But I still don't love to pick the cover. I'm leaning Georgia by 7 and another high teens, low 20s type game.
Yep, I'm right there with you too. I like Georgia to win. I like Tennessee to cover. It's not often we've seen Kirby Smart teams with their back against the wall like this. But when they've been doubted like this, and there's no bigger doubt of this team than saying, hey, if the season were to end today, you're not in the college football playoffs. Your season, in terms of everything you wanted to accomplish, it's over. That is doubt for this team. We've seen them respond well to doubt this season against Texas. We've seen them respond to doubt well over the years. And so I do like Georgia to win this game. I'm with you. I don't think that they cover. And I'll go ahead and put a score on it. Georgia 24, Tennessee 17.
All right. I like it. I like it. All right, guys, that's it for us. We won't talk to you until after the game on Saturday. We'll know the result. We'll know what Georgia's, you know, fate is kind of going forward. I mean, they won't be in the college football playoff, but they'll be in full control of their own destiny with two very winnable games out in a regular season and a chance to maybe get a couple of weeks off to before game week to get ready for the college football playoff. But got to beat Tennessee first, and next time we see you, we'll know what happened. So y'all take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. A lot of rain here and there. It's definitely rain over here. Be safe when you travels. And if you're coming to Athens this weekend, be loud and have a good time. It's going to be kind of chilly.
Hey, and let's plug our promo here. $1 for 7 days.
Come $1.
Big game flash sale.
Big game flash sale. $1 gets you 7 days at Dogs HQ. And when you inevitably love what you see on our website, when you inevitably enjoy the community and everything we got going on, you stick around for a whole year and get 50% off. So that's kind of how that works. And we'd love for you to come join us and come have some fun with us. But we're done as far as video. For the rest of the week, y'all take it easy.